The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 7, text number 2, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 4th, 2011, in Palma Shivala, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jnanam Teham Savijnanam Idam Vakshyam Yasheshatah Yad Gatva Neha Buyon Yaj Gyatavyam Vashishyate Jnanam Teham Savijnanam Idam Vakshyam Yasheshatah Yad gyatva neha buyon yaj gyatavam vishishyate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Purport. Complete knowledge includes knowledge of the phenomenal world, the spirit behind it, and the source of both of them. This is transcendental knowledge. The Lord wants to explain the above-mentioned system of knowledge because Arjuna is Krishna's confidential devotee and friend. In the beginning of the fourth chapter, this explanation was given by the Lord, and it is again confirmed here. Complete knowledge can be achieved only by the devotee of the Lord in disciplic succession, directly from the Lord. Therefore, one should be intelligent enough to know the source of all knowledge, who is the cause of all causes, and the only object for meditation in all types of yoga practice. When the cause of all causes becomes known, then everything knowable becomes known, and nothing remains unknown. The Vedas, Mundaka Upanishad 1-3, say, Kasmin tu bhagavo vigyate sarvam idam vigyatam bhavatiti. Vandeham Sri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakan Vitamscha. So Krishna is confirming here that he is giving perfect knowledge. One who understands this knowledge that Krishna has spoken, he becomes perfect in knowledge. In fact, Krishna says, once you know this, there's nothing unknown to you. You may say, well, how's that possible? That just by knowing Krishna, you could know everything. How's that possible? Well, the simple fact of the matter is, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, text number 8, Aham sarvasya pravavo matak sarvam pravartate iti vad mahabhajante bang buddha bhava samanvata. Krishna clearly states, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. So Krishna is the root cause of all the creation. The other gods, they're also the other Vishnu forms, Lord Ram, Lord Nrisimhadev, or the great devotees like Lord Shiva, they're all coming from Krishna. He is the origin of everything. That is the statement of the Bhagavad Gita, the authoritative book of the Vedic culture. Bhagavad Gita clearly states that he's the source of everything. Aham Sarvaja Prabhavo. So, if you know Krishna, who's the source of everything, then you know everything, because everything that exists is in relationship with Krishna. There is not one thing that exists anywhere which is not connected with Krishna. There's not one thing and not one person anywhere in all of the existence which is not connected with Krishna, because everything is the energy of Krishna. In fact, when we say Krishna, it refers to the person Krishna, and it also refers to his energy as well. It's like there's the sun and the sunshine. When the sunshine comes to Mauritius, we say the sun has come. But the sun planet hasn't come. The sunshine has come. So the shine, or the energy of the sun, is also of the sun. Similarly, the energy of Krishna is also Krishna. It's the expanded form of Krishna. So when you know the sun, then you know the sunshine also. So when you know Krishna, you know everything, because everything that exists is the shine of Krishna, the emanation of Krishna. So we want to educate people nowadays, especially we want the children to be educated, you see. But where is that education teaching Krishna? You see, this is the most important education. Because one who becomes learned in Krishna consciousness, he becomes the greatest philosopher, the greatest scientist, the greatest everything, the greatest poet, the greatest everything. You see? Simply become learned in the science of Krishna. And you know everything about every field of subject. You'll understand chemistry, physics, geometry, calculus. You'll have understanding that goes through every field of knowledge. You'll understand the basis of every single field of knowledge within the whole universe when you understand Krishna. So this is a great lack in the modern day educational system. They are not teaching Krishna consciousness in the schools. They're teaching Darwin's theory, which is completely bogus, concocted theory. Darwin was completely wrong. Not that the one species evolves into another species. No, all the species are given in the very beginning. It's confirmed in the Vishnu Purana. All the species are given, you see, in the very beginning. Jalaja Navalakshani Stavala Lakshavinshati Krimaya Rudra Sankhyaka Pakshinanda Shalakshanam Trincha Lakshani Pashavaha Chatur Lakshani Manushaha. All the species are given in the very beginning. Why they say it evolved out of molecular soup, you see? It's ridiculous. Now they say it all came out of absolutely nothing. This is what Dr. Hawking says now. He's supposed to be the biggest brain in the modern day world, Dr. Stephen Hawking. He says everything comes out of absolutely nothing. But where's the scientific experiment to prove that, you see? You ever made a pot of popcorn out of nothing? You took an empty pot, you put it in the stove, and you got a whole pot full of popcorn out of it? Anyone ever do that? No. You got to put the popcorn kernels in the pot, you see. So how do they think we can get the whole universe out of nothing? But they call this science. It's nescience. It's just the opposite. Nescience means ignorance. Science means knowledge, real knowledge. So what they call science now in the modern day universities is actually nescience. Therefore, these universities are centers not of knowledge, not of science, but these universities are centers of nescience. unless we can introduce Krishna Bhakti in the university. You see, the universities remain a place of ignorance, darkness and ignorance. So we are trying to give this knowledge, because this knowledge, anyone who understands this knowledge about Krishna, their lives will be transformed. They will no longer be happy simply to serve this temporary body once they understand that I'm an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one with the Lord. Why am I wasting my time simply trying to serve this material body when I can be serving Krishna instead and achieve, instead of another material body in this material existence, achieve at the end an eternal spiritual form which is full of knowledge and full of bliss. See, this is intelligent. Once you actually understand the reality, then you can live in a different consciousness. Instead of simply serving the temporary, the asat, you can serve that which is eternal, the sat, you see. Why serve something that's temporary when you can serve something that's eternal? Service to that which is temporary gives a temporary result. It doesn't give a permanent result. If you want a permanent result, then you must serve that which is permanent, and that is Krishna, God. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
To Bhagavad Gita and Mahabharata. During the war of Mahabharata, Balaram was not there. So, according to information, he was in a pilgrimage. So, we would like to know where he was and why he was there.
During the battle of Kurukshetra in Mahabharata, Krishna was there, but Balaram was not there.
Balaram.
Yeah, and he said that.
Yeah, he was on pilgrimage.
Yeah.
Because he had some affection for Duryodhana, he couldn't be there. It was too much of a conflict for him. Because he had some affection for Duryodhana. So there he had to leave. He had to go somewhere else. He went on pilgrimage. Rather than be torn between all the, you know, being an impossible situation. Of, you know, being naturally affectionate to Krishna and also feeling affection for Duryodhana. So he just got out of there, avoided it altogether. Sometimes it's called tactful, you see. Sometimes if there's a conflict going on and you feel sympathy with both parties, you just go away. Because no matter what happens, it's going to be a problem. You just get away from it. So that's what he did. Described in the Krishna book. You've read the Krishna book? Yeah. He left. He went on pilgrimage to avoid the whole conflict. Any other questions?
Although people understand that Krishna is a Supreme Lord, you continue to tell them Krishna is a Supreme Lord, but still they fear to come to Krishna and to adopt the chanting of Maha Mantra.
Yes, you want to know why?
Yeah.
People may accept that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but they may say yes, 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 yes. But they're not really accepting. They may politely say, oh yes, that's right. But if you're really accepting that Krishna is the Supreme, you'll surrender to him. Otherwise, your acceptance is mere showbottle. It's showbottleism. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Krishna is the Supreme. And they go to someone else, they say, oh, yes, 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 such someone else is the Supreme. Yes, 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 someone else is the Supreme. It's like we went to one gentleman's home in Bangalore many years ago. And he was of this philosophy that everybody is the Supreme. So there's a cartoon character, I don't know, you probably don't have it here in Mauritius. In America, there's a cartoon character called Dennis the Menace. I don't know if they have it. It's the story of a little boy, little rascal, is always causing mischief in the house. So this gentleman, he had a deity of Dennis the Menace. He's offering puja to Dennis the Menace, that everybody's the Supreme, so I'm doing puja to Dennis the Menace. So someone may say, oh yes, Krishna's the Supreme. Then the next day they said Tennis the Menace is the Supreme, or Durga is the Supreme, or Shiva is the Supreme, or anybody's the Supreme. I'm the Supreme, you're the Supreme, we're all the Supreme. So unless you really accept that, you understand the meaning of Supreme. Supreme means one without a second. There's no one equal to or greater than the Krishna, you see. If you actually understand Krishna's truth and supremacy, if you actually understand that Krishna doesn't have any equal, he doesn't have anyone greater, then you will surrender. That means they don't really accept that Krishna is supreme. They're still holding on to this idea that everybody is the supreme. So because everybody is the supreme, therefore Krishna is also the supreme. You understand? That's called Mayavadi philosophy. If they really accept Krishna as the actual supreme, they will immediately surrender. That's it. But why we shouldn't accept? Parang Brahma, parang Dhamma, parittam paramam bhavam. Purusham shashvadam devam adi devam ajang vibhum. Ahustang nishaya sarve devarshir naradashtata asita devila vyasa svayam chaiva bhavishime. This is confirmed by Sri Arjuna. He says, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. He says all the great personalities such as Devarshi, Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyasa have confirmed this truth about you, and now you yourself are declaring it to me. So if all the great Vedic authorities have accepted Krishna as the Supreme, why we should not accept? Why we should not accept? All the great authorities, Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, Asita, Devala, Arjuna, all the great Vedic authorities have taken Krishna as the Supreme. So who are we? We think we know better than them? We think that our philosophy that everybody is the Supreme? You think that will impress these great Rajarsis and these great Munis who guided the Vedic civilization for thousands and millions of years? No, we should be humble and just hear from the great sages, instead of holding on to some dogmatic idea that everybody is the Supreme. Any other questions? If everybody is one, then why he had a question and he had a question when nobody else has a question? That proves that it's not all one, you see. These Mayavadis say it's all one. If it's all one, then everybody would have, because he had a question, everybody would have a question. The fact that he has a question and you know you do not have a question, that proves it's not all one.
How can we inspire others that Krishna is the Supreme?
How can we inspire others that Krishna is the Supreme? We have to become inspired that Krishna is the Supreme. By fully surrendering unto Him. If we ourselves are convinced that Krishna is the Supreme, beyond any shadow of a doubt, and we are learned in all the arguments. That's the second thing. See, this is the difference between a Majjhimadhikari and Uttamadhikari. The Majjhimadhikari and the Kanishta. The Kanishta does not have firm faith. The Majjhimadhikari, he has unshakable faith that Krishna is the Supreme. But an Uttamadhikari, the difference is he has all the arguments. He knows the verses, and he knows the philosophical arguments. So we have to develop that. First thing, we have to have unshakable faith. Krishna is the Supreme. And then we have to be able to explain that. We have to be able to defeat all opposing arguments, become very expert in the science of logic, in scripture, and in logic of. become very, very expert. Because then we can convince. We can explain with all logic and all philosophy and all shastric reference. Then we can convince the whole world, you see. So first thing is make your conviction strong and then become very learned. This is why we have our Bhakti Shastri program. Become very learned in our philosophy, both in scripture and in logical arguments. And this is the method. Any other questions?
Want you to elaborate on devotional service?
There's two types of service. There's non-devotional service and devotional service. Non-devotional service means my job. I do it for the money. See, I'm doing some service, but I'm not. It's not out of devotion. It's out of I want some money in exchange. That's not devotional service. That's service. That's remunerational service. I want some remuneration. So the devotional service means I'm not asking for anything in return. In other words, my pay for doing the service is the service itself. I don't need anything else. The service itself is the reward for doing the service. That's pure devotional service. And this is described by Rupa Goswami. Sarvapadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchite. Becoming completely free from all material designations and becoming completely cleansed of all material contamination, one should be restored to his original pure identity in which he engages his senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha. That is pure devotional service. So the first thing is you have to give up identifying with your body. I'm not a woman. I'm not a Mauritian. I'm not an Indian. I'm not a Hindu. I'm not white. I'm not black. I'm not old. I'm not young. I'm not healthy. I'm not sick. I'm none of these bodily designations. First thing. Sarvapadi vinirmuktam. Become free from all material designations. The second, tatparatvena nirmalam. Nirmala is dirt, so nirmala. Your heart must become free of all dirt. That's why we have our regulated principles. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. Become free of all material contamination. And then what do? You engage your senses, vishik, in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha. It's Krishna. You see, so that's devotional service. Free of designations, purified heart, and then engage all of your senses in the service of Krishna. Use your eyes to see the beautiful painting of Krishna, the deity of Krishna. Use your ears to hear the glories of Krishna in kirtan or some Bhagavad Gita. Use your ears in this way. Use your nose to smell the incense offered to the Lord, the flowers offered to the Lord. Use your tongue to taste the prasad offered to the Lord. Use all of your senses. Use your legs to walk to the temple. You see? Use your hand for chanting japamala. In this way, engage all of your senses in the service of Krishna. That is devotional service. So, I think we'll stop here, and we thank you all very much for your so kindly coming to our program tonight. And when's the next program? Tomorrow night in Phoenix?
Tomorrow morning, Bhagavatam class.
Tomorrow morning, Phoenix. What time?
7:30.
Everyone come tomorrow morning at 7:30. Bring your friends, bring your neighbors for Bhagavatam class tomorrow in the Phoenix Hare Krishna Temple at 7:30 a.m. Thank you so much for coming. Hare Krishna.